reading from the Gospel of Mark, where the scribes came up to Jesus and put a question to him: which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, "This is the first. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the one Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: you must love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well spoken, Master. What you have said is true, that he is one and there is no other. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, this is far more important than any holocaust or sacrifice." Jesus, seeing how wisely he had spoken, said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to question him any more. And this is the gospel of the Lord. One of the most beloved poems in English is by the Welsh poet Edward Thomas. It's called Adlestrop. It's a small train station, no longer there, like so many small train stations in England. It's about stopping there on a journey between Oxford and Worcester, stopping unexpectedly because it was an express train which had to stop there for some mysterious reason. It's loved because it's really a war poem. It was written during World War I, written from the trenches, written indeed by a poet who, like so many, failed to survive that war. Edward Thomas died in 1917. It really should be read in a nice plummy English accent, but I'm going to read it out now in my not very plummy Scottish accent. Yes, I remember Adlestrop, the name, because one afternoon of heat the express train drew up there unwontedly. It was late June. Steam hissed. Someone cleared his throat. No one left, and no one came on the bare platform. What I saw was Adlestrop, only the name, and willows, willow herb, and grass, and meadow sweet, and haycocks dry, no whit less still and lonely fair than the high cloudlets in the sky. Before that minute, a blackbird sang close by, and round him, mistier, farther and farther, all the birds of Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire. That's a very short poem, and it's one you might be advised to read 8 or 9 times till you start to get what it's about. It's about a lot of things. Mostly it's memory of peace before the war. Like many poems, it's a poem about those transcendent moments that we sometimes have the gift to experience in life. No, it doesn't mention God, there is that sense of something greater there. What's different about this poem, unlike so many poems, is that far from being alone, far from wandering lonely as a cloud, like Wordsworth or romantic poets, the poet is on a train. And this poem has many layers, many implications, sparks off many thoughts, but I'd like to think about the train, because being a religious, having to travel between the various houses in our province, I spend a lot of time in trains. And trains are the strange gatherings of people. Thomas's poem isn't a poem about being enraptured by great things on your own, about being enraptured by great things while on a train full of people. I think trains then were probably even noisier and more uncomfortable than they can be now. And yet, the train is a gathering of people. In trains, we tend to ignore each other unless someone needs help. There's always someone who will help you. If it goes wrong, then we reach out to each other. Trains late, trains change platforms unexpectedly, or the train hasn't arrived, or someone needs help with luggage. People do help. Mostly, we ignore each other. and yet the train is a gathering of people. Sometimes I find it's easier to pray on a train. I see beautiful things in the British trains, much familiar things, things I love to look out for. The great birch forest just outside Sheffield, Berwick, the bridge crossing the waters, Lancaster, when the train runs along the beach. I see things which have grown in beauty, or health or life, old dirty slackies which have become green hills, filthy canals from many years ago in the Midlands of England, which now have fishermen looking for fish in them, life returning after the end of industry, after the end of the old style of industry anyway. Mostly I see people. And when I went with a train full of people, it occurs to me how strange it is that they should be strangers. And there's so many people in the world, we can't know each other, we can't be friends with more than a few. We're separated by the sheer numbers of people. And Edward Thomas's poem, I think, has in the background some sense that it's easy to feel enraptured by beauty, by nature. It's easy to feel that looking through the windows of the train, you have seen everything that you need to see and have all the joy that you need in life. But of course, it's from a train full of people. And unless we love each other on the train, we can't really love God and His beauty. The two commandments which Christ tells us of are two commandments which already existed in the Old Testament, more or less, slightly different in his form. And he says quite openly the first is the greatest of the commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first. But the second cannot be ignored. You must love your neighbour as yourself. Neighbour just means exactly that, the person next to you, as on a train. You find yourself sharing next to people of all sorts of life coming and going. The train gathers together. The train's taking us all to the same place. And sometimes in the hot summers, when the train's air conditioning could be better, when the children are noisy, really noisy, and the people are getting on each other's nerves, sometimes that's when I find it easiest to pray. Because though the first commandment is the great commandment, it's a commandment that overshadows the second. Also, the second is the foundation of the first. The second is like the stick in the umbrella or the parasol. It holds up the first. We can't really love God unless we love a neighbour. And the really transcendent view, the really wonderful sense of God's presence, all His beauties and joys, will only come when we feel one with our neighbour. At the end, we have to worship together, each in his own way, each in the special way that God gives us. If we finish our lives, we finish them well, we're still together. It is the people of God who love God, not individuals. From the train, Edward Thomas looked out in this beautiful place, in this wonderful moment, when the birds sang and the sun shone in the sky. But he remembered that from a time when the failure of friendship, the failure to love your neighbour as yourself, had brought him, so many others, to a place of terror and ugliness and death. We must love each other to love God. We must love each other to fill our lives with the beauty that surrounds us. Because everything we see about God, everything we know about God, is always on the train, the gathering of the people. We're on their way.